Today marks the first day of what will be a key review of the same-sex marriage question at the federal level.
When the Supreme Court found the Defense of Marriage Act in violation of the Fifth Amendment last June, it set off a wave of challenges to state-specific bans on same-sex marriage.
Those states included largely conservative states like Utah, where a district judge struck down the state's ban, allowing hundreds of couples to marry before the decision was stayed 17 days later, pending a federal review.
That federal review began today, looking specifically at Utah. Moving forward, the panel will also consider a decision in Oklahoma. This is the first time since last June that same-sex marriage is being reviewed at the federal level.
Joining us now to talk about the legal questions at play and the political issues, too, is Kimmy King. She's Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, great to be back. How are you?
I'm real good. Well, before we get into the specifics of this review today, bring us back to that federal decision last summer. What changed when the Supreme Court made its decision on the Defense of Marriage Act?
So the reason why we're here today is really about the structure and the relationship between the federal government and the states about who gets to decide what is a marriage and who can tell the states that they have to accept a marriage, or can the states make these determinations on their own. So what's at issue in Windsor, U.S. versus Windsor, involved the Defense of Marriage Act, which in essence, the Supreme Court came down in a very controversial decision because this is a very difficult issue. What the court in essence came in and said is that federal government, you cannot say to same-sex couples who are lawfully married that they are not married and not entitled to federal benefits because marriage is not a federal decision to make. So denying them benefits is a problem. So both parties could walk into court today and look back at Windsor and say, hey, Windsor is a victory for us, because Windsor says in essence that gay marriage can be acknowledged by the federal government, but those who are opposed to gay marriage could go into court and say, hey, they've said it's to be left up to the states, and so Utah has decided they don't want to have it. So that's why there is this gray area that we are resolving, and everyone's watching the Utah case because there are four other courts of appeals decisions across the country four other courts of appeals cases that are pending that are potentially winding their way to the Supreme Court.
And that decision was just kind of the starter gun for a whole bunch of challenges like this, it seems like.
That's correct. And, you know, part of this issue in trying to explain it to people, it's about our laboratories of democracy and the federalism system that we have, which gives states the authority to be able to make certain kinds of decisions within certain parameters. There are limitations placed on the states. For example, one of the judges today in the Utah same-sex marriage raised the issue of how is this different from denying interracial marriage, which until 1968 could be prohibited by the states, until the Supreme Court said you can't do that.
So this is the federal government in the form of the courts
correct.
Of appeals right
correct.
Now, weighing a decision, is there a state's right to limit who can be married? And is that right greater than an individual that says, wait a minute, I have a right to marry whoever I want? So it's a state right versus an individual right that the federal government's trying to weigh here?
That's correct. And it really is fundamentally about states' rights, whether we're talking about abortion or physician-assisted suicide or the legalization of marijuana. When we talk about the laboratories of democracy and federalism, we're recognizing that that can create a patchwork of laws. So we have, you know, 33 states prohibiting it, 17 states allowing it, and we are going to see much more litigation on this issue, regardless of today's decision.
Well, let's visit Utah a little more closely. What are the arguments the two sides are making here?
Well, in essence, they're taking it back to civil rights. If you're pro-gay marriage, you're going to take it back to civil rights days, and you're going to make the argument that, look, just because the state of Utah, through a referendum, overwhelmingly, I think the actual number was something like 64-36, something like that, what authority does a government have to say that there's a basic fundamental right and to deny that right? Because certainly the southern states in the Confederacy would have loved to have taken a vote on slavery back in the good old days. So in essence, you should think of it that there are minimum guarantees of political rights that you have. Beyond that, the states can give you more rights. What's at issue in Utah is whether or not the right to same-sex marriage is one of those basic fundamental rights that's a minimum right that has to be provided.
And on the other side, people are arguing, no, this isn't one of those basic minimum rights. This isn't a majority depriving a minority of fundamental rights.
Marriage is, and the argument that's made is that marriage is very, very different. One of the arguments made by the anti-gay marriage was this point that, look, you're opening the door for polygamy potentially. Because if you sort of recognize that states can't place limitations on marriage, then aren't you in essence forcing states to have to recognize any kind of marriage?
And another point being brought up on that side is making the case for a social value of promoting a father and a mother raising a kid. I know there's been some parts of that argument have been withdrawn after past cases, but that's still part of the case being made, isn't it?
It's still very much the case. And if you look back at that trial decision that originally came down out of Utah, there's much discussion about the social science evidence about the benefits of same-sex marriage and heterosexual marriage, looking at this issue of what kind of scientific evidence do we have about those marriages. So one thing that's been put forward is that banning the marriage can harm children of same-sex, whereas same-sex couples are argued, no, what's harming us is the second, you know, tier, the second-class citizenship, in essence, of our relationships, that if we acknowledge same-sex marriage, then what will happen is that society will get rid of that stigma.
This is a federal court that represents a wider area than just Utah. Six states, I believe. I'm ignorant on this one. If they rule a certain way on Utah, does that affect all six states the same way?
It's going to be applicable to the Utah case, and then the question can become going forward. It depends. It's going to depend on the nature of the ruling and how far the appeals court goes with it. And in terms of applicability, typically, and there might be some out that they give in the Utah case, carving out some kind of narrow exception, but typically what happens is that becomes a Sixth Circuit law issue that will be applicable there. And what makes it interesting is that if you get another Court of Appeals ruling, which clearly there are cases winding their way forward, in which you have an opposite decision, it really is priming the pump. Really, most scholars look at this and say, depending upon the issue, within 2 to 3 years and maybe even sooner, we're going to be right back in the Supreme Court again.
We're talking to Professor Kimmy King of the University of North Texas about same-sex marriage in the courts.
And we'd like to hear from you. How would you like to see this question decided by the courts? And would you prefer a referendum? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. This is Central Time. We're back with Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas, and we're talking about the federal review of state bans on same-sex marriage that began today.
And we want to hear from you now. Do you think it should be up for individual states to decide the legality of same-sex marriage, or should the federal government intervene on the case that it's an individual right? Wisconsin's being challenged in court for its ban on same-sex marriage. How would you like to see the courts here rule? Would you prefer to see this question decided by voters in a referendum or in the courts? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on our Central Time Facebook page. Kimmy, this case today in Utah, I know it can be hard to read tea leaves based on what we know about a court, though. What kind of decisions are people anticipating here, or is this really up in the air?
It really is up in the air, and actually, if you'll read what some of the commentators have written about it, they said you couldn't have chosen a more interesting three-judge panel to have because you have two Republicans and one Democrat, which that isn't always predictive of behavior because certainly a number of Republicans have come out in favor of same-sex marriage. But it is interesting to note that you have a Hispanic, an African-American, and an Anglo male who are deciding these cases, this case, who have no direct ties to Utah, when you come out of a circuit court and go to a circuit court of appeal like they do, you come from typically a state federal court that has been out there. And so it will be very interesting to see how they come down. If you talk about reading tea leaves, people listen very closely to the oral arguments today to try to figure out, and much of the balance seems to indicate it would be a 2-1 decision, which also primes it for the Supreme Court to decide, that would strike down the ban and indeed make it lawful among the 6 states in the 10th Circuit. It's interesting to note that New Mexico has already, their Supreme Court has already legalized gay marriage in that state.
And the same federal appeals court has a case coming up from Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
How does that differ from the Utah one, if at all?
Well, in all of these cases that you're looking at, and going forward, what you're going to start seeing is a variety of legal arguments that come forward that are going to be put forward. They all vary in terms of the facts and the specifics about why it's being challenged, but they all get at the heart of why can a state make determinations about who can marry and who cannot, and then what are the benefits that might have to follow from that.
And then there are other federal cases coming up in the next few months, I think you mentioned. What other states are we going to be watching next?
Oh, my gosh. You know, honestly, this is happening at lightning speed. I do not think that anybody anticipated that we would be moving this quickly in the face of the Windsor decision. All 8 of the courts, the district courts that have ruled since the Windsor decision, have struck down bans on gay marriage, and they have pointed to Windsor as saying that it is problematic to make determinations about who can marry and who cannot.
Let's bring our callers in now at 800-642-1234. We've got Carol with us in Oak Creek. Carol, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I've been with my partner for 30 years. This is a basic civil right. There's over 1,138 benefits that I cannot partake in. If my partner were to die, it would leave us financially destitute because the government will take 1/3 of our assets in taxes. If people are not in favor of gay marriage, then I have a simple solution. Don't marry someone of the same gender. I don't see how, if I'm allowed to marry, how that would affect a heterosexual marriage. I don't want any special rights. I just want the rights that I deserve to be married. I've been in a long-term relationship. I love my partner dearly. There's many reasons why I want to get married.
Carol, thanks a lot for the call. And that reminds me, Kimmy, there was viewed as a compromise version for a long time, civil unions or something like that, where a state would say, okay, we'll make this thing. You'll get a lot of the rights that would go along with marriage, but it's not marriage. Is that still part of the equation?
Actually, I believe the debate has shifted beyond that. We've moved beyond that because one of the things about civil unions is you start to get at there's a much more symbolic tone to marriage versus civil unions. And it can also mean there are consequences in the tax codes with the benefits that you receive. The benefits that your caller was talking about are exactly right in terms of the number of rights that are denied as a consequence of that, not only at the federal level, which was what Windsor was about, but also at the state level. And it's not just about marriage. It's, you know, one of the things that's interesting is there's a heartbreaking case going on actually in Indiana about a partner that is in the process of dying. And in fact, in Windsor, a death had already occurred. And so it's about being able to visit in the hospital. It's about having your name on the death certificate. It's about custody of the children that may come about as a former heterosexual partner tries to challenge the custody of the children after a partner has died. On down the road, it can be about acknowledging divorces or accepting marriages inside other states, which may prohibit same-sex marriage. I mean, this is far-reaching in terms of the potential legal implications.
And that Indiana case got kind of fast-tracked, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And part of it is because of the fact of the death the pending death that is about to happen. And so you can have, in those instances, an emergency request where you had a couple who was married in Massachusetts, and they're now trying to overturn Indiana's marriage ban because one of the partners is about to die.
We'll go back to our callers now. Thanks, Carol. We'll go to Aaron now in Green Bay. Aaron, hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up?
I think it's almost silly that this is even a debate in the courts. It's our government's job to provide rights to people, not take them away. I don't understand the arguments for those who aren't in favor of same-sex marriage, that it's a threat to them, or I don't understand how two men wanting to get married is any threat on my marriage or my rights at all. I wouldn't want my rights. I'm in a heterosexual marriage. I wouldn't want my rights taken away. I don't understand why the government seems to think that we need to take those rights away from people or not let them have it.
Aaron, thanks a lot for the call. One concern, Kimmy, is that state governments are concerned that the federal government is taking their rights to legislate away.
Absolutely, and that's always at the core issue of these federal-state debates and the protection of the minimum rights. One of the things that will be very interesting regardless is, and that we've already seen happen, is that states can give you more rights, they just can't give you less. And so I think what you will see happen in the face of a adverse decision, either out of the courts of appeals or ultimately out of the Supreme Court, is that states will only become more aggressive that are pro-gay marriage in providing rights and benefits.
So is it meaningful that the first cases we're seeing since that Supreme Court decision last year are in traditionally red states, more conservative states, including Utah?
It is quite striking. But to be honest with you, going back really beginning in the 50s and moving forward, there became litigation strategies across the country to go and use the courts if there is a feeling that the popular sentiment, the majoritarian sentiment, is against minority rights. And when I say minority, I simply mean people that are not in the majority. It doesn't necessarily mean ethnicity. And another thing that I think is really important to point out is that within the last decade, if you look at the way in which we have changed, even within the last 5 years, we've gone from anywhere between, way back a couple decades, 30% support for gay marriage, to in 2009, upwards of, depending on where you surveyed people and who did the survey and how the questions were asked, you know, 45% to 50% supporting gay marriage. And pretty clearly within the last 2-3 years, you have clear majorities of people who support gay marriage. And most importantly, you see it coming from traditional conservative strongholds. So you have, you can kind of call it the Lynn Cheney effect, right? I don't know if you know Lynn Cheney, but she's wife of Dick Cheney, who has a lesbian daughter. And she, you know, spoke out in favor of supporting her daughter. You've seen a number of Republicans change their mind about gay marriage, and public opinion has changed because of a personal relationship you have in your family or your extended family or your friends about the issue of gay marriage.
Well, when all the dust settles, we're going to have a bunch of federal court decisions. Probably they're going to end up with the Supreme Court. Do you think the Supreme Court is going to take these and say, okay, we've got to make a decision, set a precedent that's going to be very broad in scope? Or are they going to try to split hairs and deal with a little bit here, a little bit there?
That's anyone's guess. I think that any Supreme Court decision is probably going to be a 5-4 decision, just because based on what you've seen in Windsor. It will depend on how the lower court decisions are related to each other. One of the things that the court looks to do is they want to make sure that there's not this existing controversy out there among the federal circuits where you have a conflict of laws. That can become very problematic for federal judges to interpret, well, what's the signal? And so to the extent that you get two courts of appeals rulings that are directly at odds with each other, then you're going to start to have problems. The judges use a rule of four for making determinations about whether or not, the justices, I should say, use a rule of four in terms of determining whether or not they're going to hear a case, and it's discretionary in this regard. And so the more liberal justices are probably going to look at these circuit courts of appeals decisions and go, is this the right kind of case for us to say same-sex marriage is, you know, or better to say that the states cannot ban same-sex marriage. Is this the right case for us to hear? And that's what you want to watch for. But once you get a conflict among the circuits, most of the justices are going to say, we've got to resolve this.
Kimmy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You betcha. Keep up the great work. We love public radio.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas, talking about a case in Utah, or based on Utah, in a federal appeals court today.